Penguin Random House Audio presents Gold Diggers by Sanjana Sathyan. Read for you by Rama Valluri.
Prologue.
In the middle of Bombay, there was, for many years, a certain squat building that served as a beacon for the city's ambitious. It was smog-licked and wedged between a halal butcher and a chai shop, with a sign that flickered neon blue. The Goswami classes. Underneath, in faded lettering streaked with bird droppings, physics studies, chemistry studies, math studies, best choice for scholars. A practiced eye could spot the sign from the Dadar flyover or from the pedestrian bridge above the train station. One evening in 1984, 13-year-old Anjali Joshi pressed herself against the balcony of her family's fifth-floor flat and examined the neon from her elevated angle, fiddling with her two long plaits and smoothing her plaid school uniform. Anjali hoped to glimpse her older brother Vivek exiting the school after his extracurricular tuitions, his figure knocking shoulders with the clever neighbor boy Parag. All the strivers shaded blue. Vivek had lately stopped paying her much mind, and the world had become suddenly lonely. Once, her brother and his friends in the housing society had played cricket with her behind the building, bowling the ball with noodly and forgiving arms. But now, Vivek's afternoons were reserved for studying, often with the wolfish, swarthy Parag, who was overgrown for his age, with a habit of grinding his teeth as he did problem sets, as though chomping hungrily on tough meat. Anjali did not see Vivek, so she returned to her own chemistry papers. Ordinary papers, unblessed by the legendary Ratan Goswami, who handpicked his students, anointing those who would matriculate at the Indian Institutes of Technology and later make their way to the highest echelons of the nation's industry, or to America. Anjali's parents had not entered her into such a pool. She was a daughter. It had never occurred to the Joshis that Anjali might want for herself what they wanted for Vivek. It had never occurred to Anjali to want very much at all. On this particular day, she chewed on an eraser, lying on her stomach on the dusty floor and wishing for some relief from the heat. Even the drench of the monsoon would be preferable to the dryness of April in Dadar, where you could forget that Bombay bordered the sea, that a few miles away the air might salt your skin and you might see something like a beyond. Anjali's eyes drooping, she righted herself so she could see the highest curves of the letters in the crammed school sign. Inside, the bulky figure of Ratan Goswami would be rat-a-tatting his chalk on the board as he drilled students.
Young's modulus is, atmospheric pressure is, external torque is.
At this hour, Vivek would be scribbling his last lines on graph paper before trudging home to inhale a small molehill of rice, then plunging back into his bedroom for more swatting. His body was growing slender, like a mongoose's, the longer he studied. Anjali lifted her head at the click of a key in the lock. Her mother glanced at her daughter only briefly, then made for the kitchen. In the afternoons, while Vivek was under Ratan Goswami's supervision, Lakshmi Joshi mingled with the other ladies in the housing society, bragging about her two sons, Dhruv, who was in America, and Vivek, who would soon be abroad too. Anjali heard her mother coming and going, the boys' names always on her tongue. Her own name, never uttered. In the kitchen, Anjali's mother reached into her sari blouse and deposited something on the Kadapa stone counter. As Lakshmi squatted to fidget with the rusty petroleum gas cylinder, Anjali padded closer to see the glint of the furtive object, a small, plain gold coin. The sort a family member might give a young boy for good luck.
Itna nai, out of the kitchen while I'm doing this, Lakshmi snapped.
Anjali obeyed, retreating with her chemistry papers to the dining table, but stealing glances. Her mother boiled water in a saucepan, reached for the masala daba, shook some soil-brown powders into the hot liquid, and began to sing something like a prayer, passing through each phrase as though passing the beads of a mala from finger to finger. At one point, Lakshmi left the kitchen and stepped into the alcove in the hallway, where the family kept their altar. Pink and blue gods, and haldi, and kumkum, and bells on a bronze plate. She returned to the kitchen, pressing two figurines against her breasts, and set them on the shelf above the stove. The sandalwood eyes of the goddesses of prosperity and education surveyed the proceedings. Lakshmi tilted the pot just enough that Anjali could see the coin slip from her fingers and splash on the surface. Anjali stood on her tiptoes in time to see the liquid in the pot react. A little yellow whirlpool formed and swallowed the gold, as though the brew had been awaiting this addition.
Aye,
she ventured.
What is it?
This has nothing to do with you, Lakshmi said. This is for Vivek.
With practiced ease, her mother lifted the pot with tongs and held it high above a steel tumbler, like a street tea seller. Liquid ribboned out between the two vessels, a perplexing, deep yellow flicker. It caught the muted evening sunlight streaming through the flat. The door opened, and there came the sounds of scuffling in the hallway. Vivek and Parag, briefly unburdened of their studies. Anjali heard them making plans for a round of cricket, then lowering their voices before a burst of conspiratorial laughter. There would be no cricket. She knew Vivek would fall asleep over his coursework before there was time for games.
Aye,
Vivek called, kicking off his street dirt-streaked chappals. Lakshmi swiveled, hands still inches from the fire, and her flinty gaze fell on Vivek. He straightened, and Anjali swore he shuddered as he saw what swished in the tumbler. He glanced back over his shoulder, as though hoping Parag might call him away. But Parag had gone. The open door swung on its hinges. At the drift of outside air, the gas stove shuddered, its flame hued the same witchy blue as the Goswami sign. Lakshmi switched it off. Many years later, Anjali stood in her own kitchen in Hammond Creek, Georgia. Her daughter slept upstairs. Her husband was miles away. In the suburban somnolence, the only noise was of a long metal spoon clinking against a glass pitcher as she stirred. She brought just the edge of the spoon to her mouth. A small pink tongue darted out to taste the thing that still seemed forbidden. Was it tangier? Too sour? She had tried her mother's drink only once, briefly, surreptitiously, but she suspected her iteration was not yet right. That seemed to happen in migration. The old recipes were never quite the same on this side of the world. Part 1. Golden Children. May this gold which brings long life and splendor and increase of wealth, and which gets through all adversities, enter upon me for the sake of long life, of splendor, and of victory. From the Griya Sutra of Hiranyakesan, Vedic text. As in metal, so in the body. Rasarnava, Hindu treatise on alchemy. 1. When I was younger, I consisted of little but my parents' ambitions for who I was to become. But by the end of ninth grade, all I wanted for myself was a date to the spring fling dance, a hot one. The dream was granted by chance. Finding myself unaccompanied in the final days before the event, I begged my neighbor and childhood best friend, Anita Dayal, to take pity on me. Fine. I could be her escort, she allowed, putting the word in air quotes as we readied for that rather fateful night. Before the dance, I was set to meet Anita and our crowd at the mall. We'd take photos outside the TCBY, all trussed up in our Macy's finery. My mother deposited me on a median in the middle of the parking lot, early, then sped off to my older sister's picture party. Brachi had been nominated for Spring Fling Court and was living a more documentable high school life. Brachi, the Narayan child who managed to be attractive and intelligent and deferential to our cultural traditions to boot, was headed to Duke. We were all sure. Earlier that day, cheeks blooming with pride, my mother had fastened a favorite slim gold chain of her own, gifted by our Aji, around Prachi's
sample complete. Ready to continue?